Hi, I'm Michelle Blue. I'm a millennial entrepreneur and started a business just 2 weeks after I graduated college.
It's my life and I don't even know.
Okay. Each week I'm interviewing an entrepreneur, getting a real look at their stories, the lessons, the sacrifices along their journey.
And leadership is hard and you have to live at home and entrepreneurship is not easy.
Truly walk by faith and not by sight. And your life being a direct reflection of that belief system.
So, for the fellow entrepreneur, hopeful entrepreneur, or whatever path you decided to take in life, just know that the beauty lies within the journey.
Watching?
The journey.
The journey. All right, I'm going to be watching. All right.
Lanford, I don't even know. Like, I guess we met a couple years ago.
It's a little bit more than a couple. It's like 5 years ago.
It can't be. Five.
Yes, 2013.
You kept date?
No, so this is when I first met M. Cole.
Okay, I'm like, Did you mark it on your calendar?
Yeah.
How do you know? Then I would feel a little special.
Yeah.
So it was M. Cole that connected us.
Yep.
And he actually was like the real first person that I met in like the Atlanta entrepreneurship space.
Yeah.
And there are probably so many relationships that came out of M. Cole's, like, solely.
Yeah, he's the connector. He knows everybody. It's ridiculous.
For sure. So he'll be, like, the next person on the journey with Blue. So be, like, on the lookout for that.
Definitely.
But, so, we met 5 years ago. And, first of all, okay, going back again, I was on LinkedIn sometime last year. And I saw, this completely caught me off guard. I saw you on Inc's 500 growing, like, fastest growing businesses in the United States.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was interesting.
And I was like, I know him, but I never would have guessed Link. You're actually working out here.
Yeah, I mean, things have been really good. My company has been growing. Really, you know, we focus on cloud communications. So we integrate voice, video, SMS, chat into companies' businesses or their products and services. And so that market is really growing. And so we're leveraging a lot of partnerships that we had originally, starting off with M. Cole. He was really one of the ones that kind of pushed us into working with large enterprises. He got us our first enterprise contract with AT&T in 2013.
Wow.
So that was a big year. And that's when I met him. Basically kind of had that connection because he is this connector, and so he was meeting a lot of people trying to grow his business, Cabello, at the time. And so, you know, he reached out to me, didn't know he was Sprat at the time, and we started talking about what our capabilities were and what we could do for them. Like, kind of fit in the model of the collaborative that he was trying to build of like-minded people who can, you know, build things together from a business perspective and, you know, kind of help each other along the way. So that really worked really well. Met a lot of good people at that particular point in time as they were growing. And so, you know, after talking to him and seeing his drive around going after large enterprises, you know, started talking to him more about, you know, what's his approach, strategy, and how should I do that too? Because, you know, my company was founded in 2011, and I was really a little bit shy about, you know, going out after these big enterprise
clients. You were shy?
Yeah, it was.
No, I would have never thought.
Well, you got to realize that, you know, the software development side of things, you know, I went to school for architecture and construction, didn't know anything about software development, and so originally when I first started doing software, I really got into it because of necessity. I was unemployed for 2.5 years after the economic downturn in 2008.
So recession put you out of the job.
Oh, it put me out of the job for quite a long time. So, you know, I was at home living with my sister at the time, you know.
Okay. So you were, it's kind of like, what's that J. Cole? I think it's J. Cole or Drake talking about, you're at home with your mama, whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So you were
and my mom stayed at the house too. So.
So, yeah. At what age was this?
Oh, okay. So this was 2008 when I was laid off. So it was, I had to be, 24, 25.
Okay, so the lyric is back when I was living at my mama's crib. So back when you was living at your mama's crib at 25, unemployed for 2.5 years. What were you doing in that time, right? Because people who don't have a job for a long period of time, it can be very depressing.
Yeah.
It can be such a drain on your confidence.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a hard space to be in, especially for a man.
Yeah.
When you don't have the money and you can't provide because you are 25 living at your mama's crib. How did you get
to my sister's crib.
It's just a crib, but your mama is in the
yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, it was definitely a struggle, especially coming from, I had a business before and it was in real estate development. So obviously that kind of went down the drain as well. It did have a dramatic effect on me. Coming out of college, I had a degree that was, I was one of the first 100 students with this degree from a graduate perspective. And so I was highly excited after when I got out of school. But when the market changed, like all of those jobs went away. So for about the first year, I looked for jobs. I mean, I literally looked for jobs all over the world. Going back and forth, I couldn't get any jobs because it just wasn't available. You have people with 15, 20 years experience, they were taking entry-level positions. And so from a business perspective, it's great to hire somebody with 20 years experience and you can pay them an entry-level person's salary.
Right.
Well, that didn't help me at all.
You're the entry-level person.
I was the entry-level person.
With
so,
no experience,
you know,
yeah.
About a year later, some of the stuff started easing a little bit. I say a little bit. And one of the biggest problems I ran into now is I'm a year out of school. I'm not as fresh as the students that are coming out of school, so I wasn't able to get jobs because of that as well. So about a year into it, I decided I needed to do something different. And so one of the things that we're doing, I was talking to one of my best friends, and we both played baseball in college, and we had a hard time getting notes for class. And so we decided to build this note sharing website. I didn't have anything to do at the time, so I said, hey, I'll take a crack at this and try to learn how to, build a website. Did that. It was mildly successful. We got into about 29 universities, about 8,000 to 9,000 students using the platform, but didn't know how to scale or grow a software development company, especially on the social side. So what I did was, just let the website stay, but decided to kind of take the skills that I had learned and apply that to other things. So, at that time I was running out of money from unemployment. And so I was like, hey, I need to do something. And started building websites for family and friends. Decided in 2010, late 2010, I wanted to try to maybe go back to college, get my PhD. Nobody in my family, especially on my side, I'm the first male to graduate from college. Only one with a master's. And so I was like, hey, why not get a PhD, right? So I applied, I didn't get in. Probably was the best thing that could happen.
Most likely.
Yeah, definitely.
It wasn't meant to be.
No, and I'm just thinking about going through and getting a PhD is, for me, is would have been driving me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, after that, I decided to found Black Spot Media, and that was April 2011.
Wow. So it's really a whole, get it out the mud type of situation.
Yeah, definitely. I talked to a lot of entrepreneurs, and they say that, hey, I saw this need in the market, and I decided to fill it. Mine was definitely out of necessity and having to live, feed myself, be a provider, like you said, recover.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a long, hard process, but slowly but surely, I was able to accomplish that.
Right. So with you starting Black Spot Media and you didn't have a job, you had, started a business, but kind of left that business because you realized you weren't able to scale it.
Yeah.
What was it about Black Spot where you're like, I can do this?
Well, honestly, it was just something I love. So I think the biggest correlation between what I went to school for and what I do now is that it's all process driven. Architecture is always about what comes first, second, third, and in that process. So I think my mind was already kind of set to that. So software is the same way. You tell the software, you build software to do what you need to do. And so that process-driven, orientated mindset for me really kind of helped push me in that direction. And then it's more profitable. So that was a good thing too. So the first year, we did about $20,000 in revenue, which is more money than I had made unemployment. So
you
weren't
making any money. So you're like, let's keep on.
Exactly. So then we continued to increase. The next year was $100,000. Next year is $150,000. And and when you're talking about the Inc. 5000, from 2013, we were at about $150,000 in revenue. In 2016, we got up to $2.9 million. So,
hold on. That was a big, I know I'm not the greatest at math, but that was a huge jump in numbers.
Yeah, so it was a 2,000% growth.
You went from 109,000?
It was like 150.
$150,000, which is great, but in 2 years, you went from 150,000 to
$2.9 million.
$2.9 million?
Yeah.
Why have you not been my closer friend all this time? I obviously have so much to learn, right? What do you think was that tipping point from 2000?
Honestly, it was the help from Nicole, really talk about the confidence piece, right? Before then, I was really afraid to go after those clients that I really needed to, that could afford to pay more. And so, you know, after engaging with MCO, seeing how he engaged with large enterprises, I said, hey, I could do the same thing for my company. So I took that and started going after larger companies. So my companies started growing. I got more experience working with larger companies. I mean, I learned a lot of stuff along the way, you know, how contracts, how, you know, the sales cycle, who's the right person to talk to, when a project is really going to happen and when it's not going to happen.
Right.
So those type of things are things that I start to learn. But if I never took the initiative to actually go after that, I wouldn't have been able to accomplish it, right? And so even now, we're always pivoting and trying to accomplish more because, you know, looking at where we came from, you know, when I first started the company, I didn't have an end in mind, right? Yeah. It was just an end to means, right? And so now I'm looking at like, okay, well, we've got this traction. We've got a good name now. We've built some recognition. We've won multiple awards at this particular point in time. I actually won the Minority Small Business Person of the Year.
All right, you can just go ahead and drop them all down. Go ahead and hit it up.
I actually was interviewed by Chris Hanks, who's your professor, as you said. Right? So he was one of the people who interviewed me on the committee that selected me to be the Minority Business Person of the Year.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now, you say you lack the confidence. And I think as entrepreneurs, I mean, obviously it's a very introspective process because you have to be so much of the face, right? You have to put yourself out there. You have to be vulnerable. What changed? You said MCO, but also I know that something internally had to change.
Well, I think I became a little bit more secure in terms of what we were offering. You know, sometimes you look at other companies that may seemingly be doing better than you, but in reality, you offer better services than they could possibly ever provide. Mm-hmm. So when you look at those and you compare apples to apples, you know, outside of what their revenue may be or how many employees they may have or what companies they've worked with, if you provide great service to your customers, then those are the things that kind of help me build my confidence because it's like I can do the same thing they're doing. And so because I can do the same thing they're doing and better, I know that I can accomplish what they've accomplished in it even more. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that started driving me. And when we start getting more and more customers and, you know, started, you know, gaining more and more expertise in our specific field, you know, that kind of helped drive us even more to be even a little bit more bolder in terms of pricing and everything.
Mm-hmm. It's knowing your value, knowing your
exactly.
worth. Know yourself, know your worth.
I like that.
I didn't come up with it.
I mean, but it went well.
But I'll take it. I'll take it as a blue quotable.
Right.
I love that. There's so many layers to that. I'm so glad that you got to the point where you found your confidence and were able to move in authority in that.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, because I was in a new industry. You know, architecture and construction background. Mm-hmm. No software development, no teaching, formal teaching. You know, that was a real,
yeah,
you know, issue.
So there's obviously a learning curve in that, right? What was one of those, like, thought this was going to go some way, but it actually went another way?
Well, you know what? A lot of times it happens. It depends on how you pivot now. So, like, now that I have more expertise, I can kind of prepare for, you know, things that they go wrong. But, you know, we definitely had some clients where things didn't go the right way as intended. Mm-hmm. As we started growing, one of the biggest things that we ran into is, you know, I couldn't possibly do all the work myself. So then we had to start engaging other teams. And so the biggest thing that I ran into is that people don't have the same level of commitment or work ethic that you have. And so that was really hard for me to understand because I'm just such a hard worker. But once I noticed that, it's like, oh, they can't do what I do because, you know, not because they aren't capable. It's just that they don't have the same ethic I have in terms of how I work or, you know, how much time I'm going to put into something. Because I think presentation is key. I think a lot of things that people don't put enough time into effort to do pay off in the end. So I think not understanding people's work ethics was the biggest mistake I made because, you know, you'll quote a project out and you'll quote the project out like you would do.
Right.
In a reality, it may take, you know, 50%, 100% more time. So you got to factor all those things into it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's also something, like, I mean, you started this business just yourself. First year making $20,000. Now you're at a place where you're at $2.9 million. So that looks completely different. No longer are you a solopreneur. You have to build a team.
Yep.
And how do you find people who are invested and, you know, vested in your product and what you're offering?
It's hard. I mean, it's definitely hard, especially being a smaller company too. Like we're here in WeWork space, and you know, you gotta have your snacks, you gotta have all of the little amenities that, you know, now millennials are really expecting from a workplace. So, you know, that part is hard because you have to attract the right talent. So, you know, you find out really quickly if you have an A player, B player, or a C player. You can get some F players, and they can play the game and be charlatans and get into the company. But, you know, it's really about, you know, trying to identify that as quickly as possible. You know, being a smaller company, we don't have, like, psychological profiles that we can put on people. You know, it's not really our process right now. I see us growing to that at some particular point in time. But, you know, it's really just finding those good people. And if we have B players that we can mature into A players, you can kind of work on building those people up to, you know, help the overall company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very interesting. I think in one of my previous conversations, I was asking about their leadership style. And so they pointed out Shackleton's Way. I don't know if you heard about that. I wasn't either at the time, so don't feel bad. But Shackleton, I guess these people were like stuck on an iceberg glacier, something along them. I don't know. And Shackleton had to lead these people to survival. But his leadership style was, you know, getting with the people and actually working with them.
Okay.
You know, instead of delegating, he was actually, I believe, don't quote me, but he, you know, worked alongside, you know, his team, essentially. What do you say your leadership style is in leading your employees?
Yeah, I think more so the Shackleton way. I do believe in getting my hands dirty. Also, I understand, you know, going from, you know, doing developing myself to then trying to manage teams to then, you know, managing the sales process and integrating with clients. I understand a lot of, you know, the business as a whole. So when I'm engaging with different, you know, types of people in the organization, I know how to change up my conversation, and I know how to be respectful to, you know, if their, you know, development is taking a little bit longer, I try to understand why is it taking longer, not just saying, hey, just get it done. So being a little bit compassionate, but also trying to make sure we're still hitting deadlines and still delivering to the client's expectations. So I think, you know, that kind of helps, you know, when it comes to, when it looks at, like, the team that we have, they understand that, you know, I will, you know, be there as support. I'm not necessarily looked at as a person that's just, you know, delegating.
Yeah.
I always give this analogy around, like, the Knights of the Round Table. I really look at, you know, an organization to be really strong, that everyone needs to have an equal say, and all of their say should be taken, you know, seriously.
Right.
So, you know, if you can incorporate, you know, how someone's feeling or, with, you know, some of their suggestions, that's going to make that person feel more valuable to the company and make them want to do more for the company.
Mm-hmm. So. Was there a point in time, because entrepreneurship, especially when now you have a team and you feel like there's so much more demand and so much pressure, because you have to pay people, that's different. You have more bills. It's like more money, more problems, right?
That is a true statement.
Was there a time where you had to be more compassionate to yourself? Because you talk about being compassionate to your employees, but as entrepreneurs, we forget that we have to give ourselves a level of grace, too.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting statement, and it's true. A lot of times, you know, when it's like your baby, you know, you want to make sure everyone's happy, but sometimes you forget about yourself. That happened, I would say, as we started growing, I started kind of losing some of that because I was making sure everybody else was okay. And I would just do whatever I need to do regardless of, you know, what's going on. However, in the last year and a half or so, I decided that, hey, you know what, I'm going to not work, you know, 24/7. I'm going to take my vacation time. So, like, you know, I try to go somewhere out of the country once a quarter. Like, I love to travel, and that's, like, my thing to do.
You can pack me in the next bag. Thanks. Thanks. Appreciate it.
So, you know, I kind of forced myself to, you know, have relaxed some time. You know, I exercise a little bit more now. You know, just some me time. I mean, I still do a lot of work, but I think, you know, taking the time to kind of focus on myself and what I want. You know, spending more time with friends. I play poker, you know, a couple times a week. So those are things I enjoy doing now that I didn't necessarily do because I was always like, oh, I got to do more, I got to do more, which I could be. At every point of the day, I could be working 24/7.
There always will be more work. There can always be another email to send, another something to look up and research. Yeah. But I always say if you're not taking care of Landry, then black spot can't, you can't pour into that. You can't grow into that. Nothing that's like, you can't birth something healthy. You know, so I think it's important.
I used to have
you
hair.
When?
Back in the, at some point, I did have hair.
I never saw it, people.
No, yeah, I haven't since I met you.
Since 2013.
Yeah, but, you know, stress did make me lose my hair.
Pre-2013, yeah, Landry supposedly had hair.
Definitely,
cool.
It was good hair, too.
We will not.
It's the good hair.
Well, I'll have to see pictures because obviously I can't see.
Exactly.
I'm done with you. Yeah. But I love it. And like I said, when I saw you on LinkedIn, I was like, what? I know him. Who knew he was grinding this hard out here in New Street?
It's really interesting. So I have a roommate that I from college who's on the list as well.
So
his company is doing really well. He's actually in real estate development now. So it's kind of like we flipped a little bit. He was on the mechanical engineering, electrical engineering side in college. Then he decided to get into real estate with another one of our friends from college. And they're doing quite well as well. So it was really interesting to kind of have this conversation, see their company on there too, representing for Tuskegee, you know.
Lastly, because I think so many times, like as an entrepreneur, we get so caught up in the end goal, right? That we don't take time to celebrate the wins along the way. Inc. 500, that's like, I'm pretty sure you took time to take that in, to bask
you know
in that
what?
Moment.
I didn't. I was just continued to push. Like it was, I was at the time, I was like under pressure to keep that momentum going. This year, I decided to do something different. That growth is great, but doesn't necessarily mean it's all good, right? So as we grew, profit margins, you know, got smaller. Because we had more overhead, you know, employees, you know, 401ks, health insurance, all that good stuff. And so this year we were really focused on how can we like increase our profitability. So we started, you know, introducing new ways to do business, and you know, so we're like in a good place now that we're going to be in a more profitable place in, you know, 2 to 5 years. Where let's say when we're at $5 million, $6 million in revenue, yeah, maybe I could be sitting on a beach somewhere and not necessarily have to worry about day-to-day operations.
Well, you will get to the $6 million and you'll get to your beach, but I want you to make sure you celebrate.
Yeah, I did start getting into this year.
Because you have to, because if you're so focused on the end, you really miss. It's all in the journey, right? That's what I'm talking about. It's all in the journey. Yeah. So, and this is a part of it. It's not the end. But it's something definitely to be like, take in. Enjoy that moment. Be proud of yourself, you know, and be humbled by it too. But, yeah, I think you get a chance to enjoy that. But, okay, I enjoyed this conversation, Landry. I wasn't really feeling that great, but, you know, you brought some life to me right now. But I always say, you know, music motivates me. So give me like one song lyric. It can be track, it can be country, it can be true, whatever fits your flavor. But I know you're from Atlanta, born and raised, so I'm pretty sure it's going to be track.
No, actually it's not rap. So as I've grown, I'm more mellow now.
This was so not the Landry I knew.
So I'm more acoustical now. Like I really listen to lyrics and gospel. Now you kind of put me on the spot to pull out a lyric.
I actually didn't put you on the spot. That means you're ill prepared, Landry.
No, I did listen to your other.
You're ill prepared, people.
Ill prepared.
Ill prepared.
Now, this is ill-prepared after she sent me a list of questions
anyways,
that she decided.
I don't go by that. That's not what I do. You should know I'm like a free-flowing spirit. Yeah. But I'll let you off the hook, Landry.
I appreciate it because I couldn't think of anything.
Well, give the people one key takeaway, one bit of Landry's wisdom to close this out.
Perseverance. If you have a dream, go after it, accomplish it, no matter what you come up against. Entrepreneurship is not easy, and if you don't love what you're doing, you will not succeed. So pick something that you love, and no matter what happens, continue.
There you have it. Awesome. Thank you, Landry.
You're welcome.
I hope you were inspired by this conversation on The Journey with Blue. Join me on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe on YouTube to continue the encouragement. And remember that whatever road you decide to take, the beauty lies within the journey. Until next time, Blue.